Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you. Let's get straight to our guest. Kevin Wheeler joins us. He's a KMOX sports reporter, and we have an actual, real, live St. Louis sporting event to discuss, and it's a good one. The St. Louis Blues victory over the Colorado Avalanche yesterday, 4-1. And Kevin, they looked good, didn't they?
I mean, yes, they did, especially relative to their competition. I mean, the Avalanche are the Vegas favorites to win the Stanley Cup. So you're definitely playing a top team on their home ice. I think both teams, you could see just a little bit of difficulty, you know, guys being in the flow, and you know, just some choppy points in the game. But I mean, that's what you would expect when you had a short preseason with no preseason games other than a couple of inter-squad games. So I think they look good. I thought Jordan Kyrou stood out as a guy that played very well. Robert Thomas was unbelievable and is showing signs of being a breakout star this year as a guy that can be their top centerman. I think that, you know, to see them come out and play as solidly and outplay Colorado to the point last night where Colorado's coach Jared Bednar was basically saying, yeah, we got outworked. Wow. I mean, yeah. Like when you're seeing that in game one against a top team, that's a good sign.
Kevin Wheeler, I've been so focused on when the season was going to start because we didn't know exactly that I still don't know when it ends. Are we talking about a shortened season still? And if so, does that benefit a team like the Blues?
56 games is what we're looking at. So, okay. You know, I didn't do the math on the percentage of it, but it's about 60, 65% of a season. And they're going to be finishing a little later than usual, but early enough to where they can get next year back on the normal schedule, which is kind of the idea. As for whether it benefits them or not, it might, you know, when you look at a couple of things. One, you've got a little less certainty in goal than you've had in the past, and nothing wrong with Jordan Binnington, who's fine and better than fine. He can be fantastic, but you don't have the known commodity behind him. Ville Husso has been a prospect for a number of years and he's very gifted, and the Blues like him, but we just haven't seen a lot of them at the NHL level, where in past years you had both Binnington and Allen. And, you know, we knew that Allen was a guy that could play. And before that, you had Allen and Brian Elliott. So, you know, they've always kind of had a pretty good tandem. And I think this will be a good one. But having the shorter season means you probably have to put a little bit less on the plate of the rookie goaltender.
So, Kevin, let's talk about the personnel that we had in the game last night. Kyle Clifford scored his first goal as a St. Louis Blue. We're still playing without some of our marquee talent. How is that going to shape up through the season, and when do we get some of these big names back on the ice?
Well, that's a good point, Annie. That, you know, their two best goal scorers weren't on the ice last night, right? They brought in Mike Hoffman as a free agent, signed him to a one-year deal, and he's a guy that averages 28 goals a year over the last 5 years, maybe 6 years, it's 5 or 6 years. and he couldn't play last night because of visa issues. He should be back soon and maybe even by tomorrow, but it's not expected to be a very long thing. But, you know, he's got to get all that cleared up. And once he does, he'll be back in the lineup. And then, of course, you've got Vladimir Tarasenko. Those are your two best goal scorers. I mean, those guys are, you know, in Vlad's case, you know, even potentially a 40-plus goal scorer when he has a healthy year. Vlad could come back relatively soon. I mean, there's some speculation that it could be a month or a little bit more than a month from now. It might take a little bit more than that, depending on, you know, whether the recovery from the second shoulder surgery is smooth or if there's a setback. But he's coming back at some point. So the team that we saw last night is about to add two guys that in any given year could combine for 60, 65 goals.
Kevin Wheeler, how does this team this year, it seems like the last couple of years we've been talking about how similar the team has been to itself without losing a whole lot of guys.
Right.
How similar is this team to those last couple of years?
Well, it'll be exactly the same in terms of the system they're going to run, right? I mean, Craig Berube has a way of doing business, and the guys that are new, so, you know, Mike Hoffman and Torrey Krug and Kyle Clifford and the others, I mean, they're going to have to fit in and find their roles in that. You know, they're going to have to be able to, and willing to play the 200-foot game, as Berube likes to say. So I don't think it'll look a whole lot different to Blues fans. I mean, again, these guys are not the same players as the ones they're replacing necessarily. They're a little bit different. You know, like Krug is not Alex Pietrangelo, but he's also legitimate top-pairing defenseman. He's just a different style. He's a smaller guy that, you know, moves his feet and can move the puck real quickly and is going to help you on the power play, where Petro is the bigger guy, longer reach, better in his own zone. And that's the role now that goes to Colton Parayko. So I think that, you know, there will be some things that look different. I think the power play is going to be better this year than it's been the last couple of years. Not that it's been a problem, but I think you have really good power play personnel, especially when you have Hoffman and Tarasenko back at some point later in the year. So that may be kind of the big boost we could get later in the year, is to see what the impact of those two guys can be when you're a man up. But otherwise, I think you're going to see a team that very much looks a lot like the ones of the past with the way that they play.
Let's shift to the St. Louis Cardinals. There's still a lot of chatter out there about Yadier Molina. I saw a comment somewhere from him that said that if he doesn't get an acceptable offer, then he'll happily retire. What is in store for the St. Louis Cardinals as their offseason is, what are we, about a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting here? You would think something's got to give here soon. Anybody on the hot stove for the St. Louis Cardinals? And what about the big question mark around Yadi and Adam Wainwright?
I mean, there really hasn't been anything like really hardcore connecting the Cardinals to any big names. I mean, there have been some reports about the Cardinals having checked in on players back at the beginning of the offseason, but teams check in on a lot of guys because they're trying to gauge the marketplace, right? Not just for those players. I mean, like, so if the Cardinals were checking in on starting pitchers, for example, they may be trying to figure out kind of how much it's going to take to bring Wainwright back. You know, what's the marketplace for veteran starters, and what offers are other guys getting, and are they younger than Waino? Are they as good, a little bit less good, a little bit better, whatever? So, you know, they've reportedly checked in on a lot of things, but there aren't really any connections to free agents or significant trades that sound like they're primary players in those. There was a report, I can't remember if it was over the weekend or not, it was over the weekend or earlier this week, that the Cardinals could be one of the teams that were talking to the Red Sox about outfielder Andrew Benintendi, but it was a very loose connection that was mentioned. It wasn't anything like they're in talks or they're exchanging names or anything like that. And that's kind of, you know, kind of paints the picture of where things sit with Yadi too, right? I mean, I think what we're seeing is a realization that there isn't a huge demand for veteran players that want to make a certain amount of money. And, you know, there aren't that many spots, by the way, that are also appealing to Yadi. I think we have to consider that too. Like, he's not just looking at 30 major league teams. He wants to be, I'm sure, on a contender. I can't imagine he wants to play for a bad team. And I know we've talked about this before. He's going to want to play every day. I don't see Molina signing with a team where he's going to be sharing starts 50-50 with someone else. And if he stays with the Cardinals, he won't have to do that. I mean, he's going to have his normal job so long as he proves healthy and productive enough to keep it. But there aren't that many teams out there that really fit that description, that could pay him what he would see himself being worth, and then offer him the playing time right off the hop that he's used to having. And some of it will be related to the top catcher on the market, which is JT Realmuto, and he hasn't signed yet either. So once he signs, that might give us a better idea of what's up with Yadi and then what it would take for him to play for the Cardinals.
We're speaking with Kevin Wheeler, KMOX Sports Reporter on Twitter at KevinWheeler94. He has a great GIF game there on Twitter. I highly encourage you to check it out. A lot of what we're talking about with the free agent market and the slowness of it and the money, the big money opportunities not being there as much is based on a season that was played last year without any fans in the seat, no fans in the seat, no tickets being sold. I've heard chatter that maybe there might be an effort to put a few fans in the stands, maybe even by the time the season starts. Nothing concrete that I've heard. Curious what the rumblings are that you are hearing. Any chance that if you want to eat a hot dog and drink a cold beer inside of a professional baseball stadium that you'll be able to do that in 2021?
Yes. I think it's going to be available in a lot of places, even at the beginning of the year. I mean, Major League Baseball earlier this week put out their guidelines that teams will have to follow. And they'll mean that, like, you know, you're not going to have maximum capacity, at least not until this all changes. So you have to be socially distanced. They're going to have pod seating so you can sit with your group, but then there's going to be a gap around you. So it's going to be pretty spread out. You're going to have to wear the mask in the stadium if you want to come in. That's a Major League Baseball rule coming into this year. And then beyond those things, it's up to the team, the city, the county, and the state that they're in. So, you know, if you're looking around at, you know, different places across the country, you can kind of envision Florida, they'll probably let people in. Texas is probably going to be letting people in. You know, maybe not in California, maybe here. I mean, they've held events at Ballpark Village.
Yeah.
If Ballpark Village can be open, then why can't you go right across the street and sit outside? I don't know how many. I don't know if it'll be opening day or not, but I'd be pretty surprised at this point if there aren't people in stadiums even early in the season.
Just real quick, Kevin Wheeler, I wanted to ask you, as we look forward to nicer weather and Cardinal baseball, are they going to score any runs?
Yes, I just don't know how many. I mean, they're okay. Definitely going to score some runs.
What a wonderful prognosis, Kevin Wheeler. They're definitely.
I mean, I'm brilliant. You know, I mean, I got this. How do you think I got this job? Yeah, I got this job for a reason. I know how to do the math.
I know you're honest. That's the reason we love having you here. The St. Louis Cardinals definitely going to score some runs.
Yes, I would say so. In fact, within the first day or two, they'll score some runs.
One, two. Fantastic.
Yeah, you never know, man. I mean, I got to be honest. I mean, I can be optimistic, but I can also be honest. I think they're in the same boat as everybody in the division, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody in this division has a strong offense. The Cardinals definitely need to be better than they were last year. They were near the bottom of the National League in some of the key points where you really need to be good. So if they can get towards the middle of the pack in the National League offensively, they're probably going to win the division. Because their pitching is going to be awesome, and their bullpen is going to be, if not the best in baseball, one of the best in baseball. So we'll see. I think the hope is they can get to average, and if they do, they should win the division.
All right, amen. I'll take that. Going to score some runs, may win some games. Kevin Wheeler, KMO Sports Reporter.
No, they definitely win games. There's no maybe, right?
Fantastic. Kevin, thanks for being here. We appreciate the little break from the normal discussions we have here, and we always love your insight. Thanks for being here.
Anytime. We know I'm here to talk sports.
Amen to that. At KevinWheeler94 on Twitter. He's a great follow, and he usually live tweets a lot of the games that you're going to be watching, so you can connect with him there. We're going to take a quick break. Excited to talk to the host of a new podcast called Pardon Me by Dinesh D'Souza. He's going to be with us when we come back, and I'm really interested in his take on the censorship of so many people or so many things in the social media realm, how he feels this fits into the context of history, because if you've watched any of his movies, you know that he comes at the present day from a very, very deep, very, very educated point of history. So we'll speak with Dinesh D'Souza when we come back. Don't go away.
Just today, the former MLB pitcher Curt Schilling announced that he has had his personal insurance policies canceled by his insurer. Why? Because Curt Schilling wrote a social media post defending Donald Trump. And in 2021, that's not allowed. You could lose your insurance for that. You could also lose your bank account. your website, your access to email and social media, your ability to communicate with the outside world, and there's nothing you can do about it because you can also lose your lawyer. No legal representation for you. How long before they cut off your water and electricity? Before UPS won't deliver your packages? And not to wreck your day, but guess what? Amazon is now one of America's biggest grocery providers. Good thing you don't need to eat.
So there's Tucker Carlson from last night painting the picture of what it could look like in the future if the censorship that we've seen from a lot of big tech decided to expand itself into other areas of our life. Does that seem like it's not a possibility? Well, I don't know that we thought that where we are at in this moment right now was a possibility. Let's get to our guest. Very excited to welcome Dinesh D'Souza onto the show, host of a new podcast that you can check out. Pardon Me. He is an author and a filmmaker, and I've seen Trump Card, I've seen Death of a Nation, and they are fantastic historical accurate pieces of education that I encourage everyone to check out. Dinesh, it's a pleasure to have you on here today. Thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
So let me ask you this. As somebody who has studied history, and history does often repeat itself, this action that has been taken by big tech, from the people who own the platforms to the people who provide the structure for the platforms, are you concerned with the actions that have been taken by Twitter, by Amazon, by Google in the last week or even potentially before that?
Very much so. I think these platforms built themselves up on false advertising and false pretenses. They said that they were instruments of liberation. They would provide opportunities for public exchange of ideas, that you'd be able not only to find your old, you know, high school friends, but you'd also be able to engage with politics and participate in the public square, in a sense empowering the ordinary person to become almost, you may say, a publisher. And then once they had built these virtual monopolies, at least in their own space, they then turn on people with a vengeance and they go, okay, we're going to ban you. We're going to restrict you. We're going to cut you off. We're going to permanently suspend you. So this would be akin to the phone company saying, you know what, we have this great new technology. Everybody can communicate on it. And then they go, well, you know what, no hate speech is allowed on the phone, and we get to say what that is. And from now on, we're going to allow you to only make 2 phone calls a week. And even if you pay your bill, we reserve the right to cancel your phone privileges. I mean, this would be outrageous. People would shut down AT&T overnight. And yet this is exactly what these digital companies are doing. And they're doing it in collusion with each other.
Dinesh D'Souza, I'm looking for a silver lining in all this. I mean, it's tough to find, but the internet was supposed to be this great equalizer of communications. And for a while it was, but it seems like in the last 10 years, all of that power, like you said, has monopolized and centralized. Is this an opportunity for it to go back to what it was, to decentralize everything again?
Well, yes. The bad news, I think, is that companies like Google won't allow competition to really emerge. If a young company starts developing, for example, powerful ways of creating new search engines, Google just comes in and buys them for $300 million, makes that guy rich, and essentially takes that technology, incorporates it into Google, and that's the end of the what would otherwise be a competitive force in the market. That's how these monopolies have become protected. So I think there is a very good justification for the government to step in and break up monopolies. That's not anti-free market. That's actually making sure we do have a free market. Now, is that going to happen under the Biden administration? No, it's not going to happen. And so what that means in practice, I think, is that we need to build new platforms. A company like Parler, which was doing it, faced a coordinated 3-pronged attack from Apple and Google and Amazon. But if they're able to come back, if they're able to find someone to host their servers or buy their own servers, then they will be completely independent of these external forces, and they won't be beholden to them. They'll be able to really do. They'll achieve true independence, which they apparently have never really had.
Another one of those alternative platforms is Rumble, which is where you can find Dinesh's new podcast, Pardon Me. Encourage people to check that out, and we will make sure we share the link there. I want to talk to you, Dinesh, about the last week, the events of the last week. I'm going to read to you specifically, purposely, from a CNN article. Evidence uncovered so far, including weapons and tactics seen on surveillance video, suggests a level of planning that has led investigators to believe the attack on the U.S. Capitol was not just a protest that spiraled out of control, a federal law enforcement official says. Now, yesterday we impeached impeach the president on inciting an insurrection in the House of Representatives. Yet here with CNN, we're seeing that there was likely more organization than just, you know, some Trump-obsessed, loving supporters who, on a whim, because of something Donald Trump said, decided to storm the Capitol. It's hard to find truth today. It's hard to expose truth. And it seems to me like nobody in the mainstream media trusts people like you and me and the listener right now with the actual unvarnished truth. Is there anywhere to go at this point in time?
The problem with our media world now is that they will manipulate the truth to an ideological end. And so, for example, let's say that there was pre-planning for this Capitol Hill occupation. Well, number one, that hurts Trump in the sense that if some Trumpsters planned it, then it shows that there really was a kind of coordinated assault. This wasn't a case where the crowd just got out of hand and people streamed in. Somebody was planning to do this. But it also exonerates Trump himself, because how could he have incited something that was obviously in the works long before he even came up to the podium to speak? So you would think that the left would go, okay, let's put this information out, let people make of it what they may, let the analysis commence. But no, they want to control the information so that only the first conclusion can be drawn, but not the second. So I fear that the normal give and take of politics, the normal atmosphere of being able to speak freely, the left is really trying to shut that down. And that goes way beyond Trump. It even goes way beyond the election. It affects all of us as free citizens in a free society.
Dinesh D'Souza on the phone with us. Now that Democrats do have control of the both houses and the presidency, or here in a week they will, do you expect that they're going to continue to pursue these things really to no end, that they're just going to kind of put their foot down on the pedal harder? Or is this a time where maybe we might see a little bit of relaxation now that they've gotten what they wanted?
Well, they don't have what they wanted because the election was way too close. In the Senate, it's 50-50. So, yeah, they can pull in Kamala Harris, but can they pull in Kamala Harris for every vote? No. Number two, let's just say that an impeachment movement got going against Biden. There's a lot of ill feeling about what happened to Trump. Let's say that that 100 people in the House decide, let's go after Biden, and let's do it starting January 21st. This group would only need to hold the Republicans and get 5 to 6 Democratic votes, and they could impeach Biden in his first year. So this is not a case where I think conservatives and Republicans should be like, oh, we lost everything. No, it's 50-50 in the Senate. It's almost 50-50 in the House. Now, where the left really is dominant is in the culture, in academia, in the media. They have a virtual monopoly. So they're trying to press their advantage in digital media, where they have the full control of the levers of power. But they don't have that on the U.S. government yet, and they don't even have the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you know, Dinesh, I so appreciate what you're saying there about in the culture, because they peddle in a fear of currency and they bully. And, you know, if you're somebody who supported this president because, say, you want to fight for the lives of the unborn, or you think that there is a fiscal conservative approach to the way we handle our economy that is better than, you know, the spend, tax way. If you are that person and you tune into Don Lemon, he's going to tell you that if you support Donald Trump, you are one with the Klan. It is unbelievable to see the gaslighting and the bullying that comes from the mainstream media that is trying to paint every single person who has ever voted Republican one way or the other as the person who was hanging from the rafters inside the chamber of the House of Representatives last week. How do people who are conservatives, who have been conservatives consistently, or who have come to find the benefits of conservatism, potentially even under a Trump administration, how do they face this constant onslaught of attack from people like Don Lemon equating them with the KKK?
Well, first of all, the attack is completely baseless. And as often is the case, the left always takes this too far. See, this was a very close election. They're trying to make it sound like they've got a mandate to completely reset and remake American society. Now, the point is that there are lots of Americans, even some who voted for Biden, who are not up for that. And they're going to be watching to see what these guys do. In the culture, you're right. They have this monopoly. They're trying to, but I almost think that they are throwing a rain of blows, and if we can survive them, we're going to be fine. It's a little bit like the Ali Foreman fight, where Foreman came in with a blitzkrieg of punches, but after a while, since he wasn't able to put Ali down, he was out of punches, and then it was Ali's turn. So my point is that if we're able to hang tough, recognize that, look, they do have this cultural power, let them do what they can. And at the end of the day, we say, listen, now what can we do? How do we build our own institutions? How do we build our own following that's not dependent on them? If we can't count on this, maybe we can count on that. So I think there is a lot of opportunity at this time. But there's also, of course, reasons for legitimate alarm.
And I think that one of the key things that people are going to be seeking out is a place where they can have these discussions openly and honestly. And it seems to me like your podcast, where people can find it on Rumble, called Pardon Me, might be dedicated to bringing truth to the American people and providing this conversation. What inspired you to start this podcast, and where do you want people to connect with you?
Well, what I see on the national level is a lot of television shows on the right and a lot of podcasts. I would call them affirmation podcasts. They basically tell you what you already believe, and they want you to follow the podcast because you say to yourself, hey, I'm really glad there's somebody else who thinks like I do. But they don't teach you anything. You never listen to these podcasts or shows and go, wow, I never thought of that. So I want to do like a different kind of podcast that is illuminated by philosophy and history and religion, that is about politics but draws from literature and many other fields. And the idea is that you're going to learn something new, and you're going to have not only a new set of ideas, but also, I would say, a new tone. Because I don't like this kind of hangdog, we're defeated, where do we go from here, it's the end, America's finished. None of that is even true. And so having the right attitude is going to make us far more effective in the way that we endure what we have to endure, but also make us more creative in fighting back.
Oh, Dinesh, honestly, in the last week, what you just said there is probably the brightest spot of what I've heard anybody from anywhere near the moderate to right side of the aisle say. There's some hope in what you have to say. So go to rumble.com if you want to watch the podcast, or check it out on Apple Podcasts as well. Dinesh, you're welcome on the show anytime. We are really grateful that you've fit us into your schedule.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. I really encourage you to check out what Dinesh has to offer. And I'll tell you what, there's a scene in Death of a Nation, which is, I think his Trump card was his last video. Death of a Nation was put out maybe around 2018. And if, in case you forgot what went down after Donald Trump won the election and how people reacted after he won the election, setting cars on fire in streets and essentially, I mean, I don't know how many cars have to be set on fire to qualify as a riot, but when you go and you see the way he lays everything out to you, what he said about talking about philosophy and teaching people things, you sit and you listen and he shows it to you. It's not just him standing there talking to you about something you need to learn. You will relive history that you were there for. And you will see it in a way that you haven't seen it before. I think Dinesh D'Souza is so incredibly bright, and his way of communicating and putting everything into place, at least for me, is incredibly impactful. So go check out Pardon Me on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. I'm sure it's located everywhere. Or if you want to watch it, like, you can watch our show on our YouTube channel or on Facebook. He is on Rumble, rumble.com. Just go find Dinesh D'Souza there. Great to have him on. Katie, thanks for scheduling that. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up here in just a second. Stick around. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. We'll be right back. If you missed it, I couldn't sum it up better than Brad on our YouTube page. Dinesh is a sharp cookie. Yeah, he is. Plus, cookies sound good right now. If you missed Dinesh D'Souza, he was just on with us. It's a great opportunity to have that radio.com app on your phone. Or what I always end up doing is, if I tune on to Mark Cox in the morning or something, or if I'm listening to Kilmeade going into my show, I always come in the middle of something that's really interesting. And it's like, how did this start? Get the radio.com app on your phone, find 97.1 FM Talk, and you can rewind, which is just beyond anything that I grew up with.
So cool.
I go back to my first MP3 player that I talked about to you guys one time, and it had an SD card slot in it, but I didn't know what SD card slots were, so I could fit between 15 and 17 songs on it.
Oh my.
Just on the base hard drive. and I would just swap them out. And I used to cut grass on my the house that I grew up in is on a farm, and acres of grass on this big old yellow tractor. What kind of harvester? International Harvester is red, right? John Deere is green. What's yellow? Somebody comment and tell me, because it's really showing my city roots here. Katie, what's a yellow tractor?
Oh, you know, that one. It's a school bus, actually.
It's like probably a corn yellow.
It's a school bus.
That's what it is.
So I would have to try to cut the grass in those 16, 17 songs. That was not possible. I couldn't get it done. So I'd have to listen to them over and over and over again. I wanted to give you guys an update. It's Thursday, which is a big day in the Fry family household, specifically for me, because that's the day I graduate to the next week in my pregnancy. We are 18 weeks in right now. And I have very much enjoyed sharing with you each week as we go through this, to kind of tell you what the development is, because I think that so much of what goes on during pregnancy is like, when I know that every time I explain this, Katie, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Like, already.
The development.
Yeah. Cool. So I get these each week. So I'm just sharing with you, 18 weeks in, your baby's ears are now in their final position, although they're still standing out from his head a bit. So like, they show a picture of this baby. They're just kind of like lower and on the back of the head, but they're in their final position. In the lungs, the smallest tubes, the bronchioles, start to develop at the tips of the branches. At the end of these tiny tubes, respiratory sacs begin to appear. By the time your baby is born, these sacs will become enmeshed with tiny blood vessels and allow oxygenated blood to circulate to all of the body's organs and tissues. And also, this says girl and boy parts. This is usually when you would go between 18 and I think 20 weeks, maybe 22, 18 to 22 weeks is when you would go get the ultrasound that would be the big gender reveal, where you would find out. Now, because I'm an old lady, they do a blood test earlier on, and the most mind-blowing thing of this pregnancy so far is that this blood test that they did, I think they took my blood between 10 and 11 weeks, I think, and my baby girl's chromosomes are in my blood. Like, the identification of that, the DNA is part of my body, of my blood, not in utero. They took blood out of my arm, and they could look at the DNA of my baby girl, which would also obviously be able to tell you the gender of the baby, but also any type of genetic concerns that they might have. They tested for cystic fibrosis through that, just to give you the heads up that, you know, this might be coming down the pike, or to find out if you're a carrier for these things, and also to find out the gender. So I found out four, five, 6 weeks ago that we're having a baby girl. But this is where you would be able to see that on the screen. Ryan, did you guys find out for your twins what you were having?
Well, the crazy thing is, well, just real quick, because you mentioned cystic fibrosis, do you know how they found that out when I was born?
How?
They would have one of the parents, or even the doctor might even do it. They would just lick your sweat.
Wait,
that's
what?
That's how far. No, I'm not joking either. Because your sweat's salty. Your sweat's saltier when you have CF. So they would just have somebody lick the baby's sweat to see if it was extra salty.
Dang.
And then they'd be like, oh man, that's really salty. We should do the CF test and do more
not
testing.
That I don't believe you, but I want a second opinion on that.
Go ahead.
I mean,
just
like,
look it up. Yeah.
What do I even Google? Lick baby CF.
Lick CF babies.
I'm also going to just, in the case, add in Ryan Wiggins to the end of that Google search.
Wait, it's a sweat test.
I'm so sure of this, sure that, but I'm also waiting for you guys to find it.
Infants with an abnormal newborn screen need a sweat test to confirm the CF diagnosis.
Shaboomzle.
No, there's a difference between testing the baby sweat and being like, here, lick this.
Well, okay.
Lick this baby.
Nowadays, they probably wouldn't lick the baby.
We have the technology.
Who licked you?
I mean, we're talking pretty much right around when I was born, that was becoming more like, okay, let's get sweat and test it. But right before that, it was basically like, just lick it. Like, that's how you're going to know. Anyway, to answer your actual question about the twins, because we did IVF, we knew within, I think, 4 or 5 days that we had twins. Because Katie, my wife, had hyperstimulated, and we were in the hospital, and they knew from her numbers They said, "Whoa, we think you might have two." So we knew that fast. That's amazing. From the time I was born, where they're licking your sweat, to they know the gender of the baby, or if you have a couple of them within a few days.
Through a blood.
I mean, science.
It always takes a drastic turn when I ask Ryan a question, but I did not. I try to anticipate the unanticipatable. But as Jackie says on our YouTube chat, please don't lick the babies.
Please don't lick the babies. Look, when I walk through a hospital, you don't have to tell me that anymore. But when I was born, you did have to tell people that.
But 6 months ago, there was an incident.
I'm so fascinated by this.
So you knew.
See?
So you knew because of IVF what you were having.
Yeah, yeah. We wouldn't have been in the hospital otherwise. So, but they can tell that early, apparently, if you want to find out.
What about with your other kiddo? Same?
The other kiddo, I think everything was pretty normal. So we didn't find out the gender of that baby or anything really about it until the normal whatever week that
ultrasound?
You just said. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Ultrasound, you guys did find out what it was.
Yeah, we found out.
And were you hoping for something? Because your twins are boy girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, were you leaning one way or the other?
With the third one?
Ryan has disappointment on his face.
I was so...
Well.
Because we had twins first, the whole experience of children in general for me has just been like, grab the handlebars and hang on. Like,
sure.
I don't know what's going to happen. I can't control any of it. I'm just going to let it happen and deal with it.
Katie, if you were expecting, and Katie is not, unless you want to announce anything right now.
Uh-uh. Nope. No.
No, you don't want to announce her? No, there's nothing to announce.
Nothing coming round.
would you desire to know the gender of the baby?
I have, my family, my mom's side of the family is very big into traditions. So from what my grandparents did all the way down, and I'm the youngest grandkid, they are very, very big into traditions. And usually all of my cousins and whatnot, they're first. I don't think they knew the gender of the baby until...
Or they knew and didn't tell anybody.
Or they knew and they didn't tell anybody until they gave birth. But I think I would have a lot of anxiety of not necessarily... I know, like, the colors and everything don't really matter anymore, if, like, blue for boys and pink for girls. I know that doesn't matter. But I would have anxiety of just not knowing, like, what exactly to buy for girl or for boy. So
and
I think
can,
I would want to know.
It can matter if you want it to matter. It doesn't have to matter.
Yeah.
I think, for me, it's always been about how uncomfortable I am just to be able to personify this thing inside of me,
sure.
And especially if I feel it kicking and stuff like that. It's nice to feel like I'm getting to know this person. I was talking yesterday about this funniest story of my life, and I'm going to tell it in less than 60 seconds here. But when my water broke with my son, it was the day after Christmas. My son was born on December 26th, and it was 7 a.m. on the nose. And I don't know why, what I felt, because I was laying in bed asleep. And at 7 a.m., I leapt out of bed. And you don't leap when you're that pregnant. Mm. I leapt out of bed, and my water broke right then and there. And my husband, who we had stayed up playing cards that night at my grandma's house till like 2 or 3 a.m.
Jeez.
I'm like, Jared! And he like looks over, he's like, what? I'm like, my water broke! And he leapt out of bed and made three complete circles standing next to the bed. And I said, Jared, you got to get it together. And he like was in a defensive stance, ready to take a tackle from a linebacker with his hands up in the air and his knees bent.
He was ready to deliver.
And he like couldn't speak.
Yeah.
It's after three complete circles.
Push, honey. Push.
No. Don't push. And I was like, I'm okay. I need you to get the bag and get the car, and then we're going to go to the hospital. And he just, like, took a breath. He's like, okay.
Good
and
husband.
And we went. And by 7:45 that night, we had our firstborn son. It was pretty crazy. You never know. It's an crazy situation. Stick around. Dave Love coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.